Well, praise the Lord. Get your Bibles out this morning. Oh, come on. We can do better than that. Get your Bibles out this morning. Thank you. You should be excited to go to the Word of God. You say, well, y'all are just crazy. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Blood washed, blood bought, and a little on the crazy side. And get your and get in your Bibles, go to the book of Galatians chapter 6, if you would, verse 7. Got a lot of things I want to say this morning. You know, it's always my prayer every time I'm speaking, it's my prayer that no matter what I'm saying out of my mouth, that God will anoint it, that you will hear what you need to hear. Because all of us are in here together in a different place. I mean, you know, you start and you go right around the room. All of us have different needs. We're at different places in life, you know. And so how can I possibly target a message that's going to hit everybody at the same time? But over the years, you know, I've just seen God. I've had people come and say, man, that's, you know, I got a revelation we were preaching. It wasn't even what I was talking about. And I'm like, glory to God, that to me is exciting because I need that kind of help this morning. Because I'm excited about the Word of God. I have always been excited about the Word of God. From the day that I got saved and God opened my eyes to who He really was, that He wasn't, Jesus wasn't just this religious figure, you know, walking around the earth, stroking a lamb, that He wanted to be a part of my life. He wanted to be living and breathing in me and to bring joy into my marriage, into my work and my finances and my everything. And it was a part of my life. I'm always so excited because I read the Word and it leaps off the page to me. I'm just like, this morning I want to share something with y'all that, I mean, I had this message all put together from months ago. And then as I was reading it this morning, I started laughing because I saw something here that I'd never seen before. From what I was just already had prepared, and I had to like switch everything around. So, well, Lord, we're going a different direction. And so it's just, that's the way it should be in all of our lives. It's my prayer for each and every one of y'all to have the same experience, to just be able to open your Bibles and to see Jesus in the words of the Scripture that touches your life and changes you. Because, folks, I want to tell you, the truth is we all need Him, and we all need a miracle working God in our life, because at every moment of our life, there could be all different things that you're going through. Hello? So, we're in the book of Galatians chapter 6 this morning, and I've been preaching this message about sowing, about giving. And I'm teaching you that God, that you are a VIP, you are a very important person in life. Everybody say, I'm a VIP. I got so excited the other day. This message, listen, I've taught you last week about the seeds, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. We went to a restaurant to eat this weekend, and I went into it, and I didn't do anything. Actually, I was in the restroom, and my wife was out there, and she said, well, look, my husband, because I kind of owied my back this week, and so they set us in a booth, and she said, he's not going to be comfortable here because the booth's real soft and everything. Could we sit over there in that section? And so they said, yeah, okay, we can just move you over there. So they moved us, and then come to find out it was the VIP section. The guy comes over and says, yes, sir, you know, the people sit over here in the VIP section. I'm like, really? We're in the VIP section? See, I'm getting VIP treatment when I didn't even know it. I mean, I'm just confessing. Thank you, Lord. I'm a VIP. Everywhere I go, I get a VIP. And I'm dangerous when I know that I am a VIP. We had those rodeo tickets given to us, and they were VIP tickets. Man, I tell you what, I'm like walking around like flashing that thing in front of everybody's face. They're like, yeah, here, get over here. I got a VIP ticket. I got a VIP ticket. Yeah, what do you want? Yes, sir, here, a VIP. So funny, you say, well, you're just arrogant. No, I just enjoy VIP. I like the look on people's faces when they look at me and say, that guy didn't deserve VIP. And I flip out, VIP. I love it. We went into the rodeo the other night. The lady's like, let me see your tickets. They're like standing in front of the gate guarding it so nobody goes past them, you know. And I said, yeah, I'm not real sure where my seat is. And then it was like, oh, sir, excuse me, here you go, right down here. I'm like, yeah, get out of the way. That's the way we're supposed to be in the kingdom of God. Okay, we're supposed to be that way in the kingdom of God. You're supposed to know that you're born again, that you have rights and privileges as a child of God, that heaven is backing you up, that you can speak to God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth. In a moment, in a flash, you have a hotline to him. We shouldn't be walking around defeated and destroyed and put down and let the world dictate how we think and how we believe. Are y'all with me? You've got to be that kind of Christian that walks around knowing your rights and privileges. And so that's what I've been trying to teach you these last few months. And I'm just saying, you know, this is what you're entitled to. And so one of the things that I told you that we started on this, that you have the power to be a giver. And when we say giver, most people, you think, well, if I'm giving, I have less. But I've been showing you it's not giving to have less. You are sowing. You are sowing to bring a harvest in. But you're going to get whatever you sow. So if you're a sower of anger, you're going to reap anger. Hoo-hoo! If you're a sower of jealousy, you're going to reap that jealousy. If you're a sower of apathy, if you sow apathy, then nobody's going to care about your situation. Are y'all with me here? I showed you last week that God has set it up. He's made it to where seed produces after its kind. You do not sow corn seed and get wheat. Y'all with me? You don't plant a tomato bush and get cucumbers. You don't just have some seeds and you don't know what is you're going to get out of it. Y'all with me? Because seed produces after its kind. So whatever you're doing in life, that's what you're going to get. You're going to reap it. If you're sowing it, you're going to reap it. How do you sow things? You sow things right here out of your mouth. You sow things by what you do, your actions. If you're ugly to people, I'm telling you, people are going to be ugly to you. I walked into this business the other day, and it just happened to be that there were. I'm gonna get myself in trouble here. Let me see if I can rephrase this. Anyway, there were some people in there, and I'll just say there was my aged ladies in there. How about that? And middle aged ladies are all in there, and I walked into this place, and I look, and I could tell. From the moment I walked, and I looked at their faces, that they would take me in outside and kill me if they could. That was the look I felt as I walked in there. Death is in their eyes. And so rather than being offensive, I just walked in there and said, "Hi, how y'all doing?" I said, "Man, it's a great day today, isn't it?" And I just smiled and smiled, and I was like, "Oh, okay, well, you're not going to be bad." And the next thing I know, man, I got them laughing, and they're giving me stuff, and, you know. But if I would have turned around the other way and walked in there, if I'd have just been a little bit aggressive, they would have, like tigers eaten me. I'd have been slaughtered, just stripped to the bone and walked out of there. I knew I'd lose. But I went in and said, "Man, I got to sow joy. I got to sow peace. I got to sow, you know, good here." Folks, it's the real thing. So the thing happens in the spirit. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. All right. Well, the same thing happens with finances. Whatever you're going to sow, you're going to reap. Let me show you this. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. "Do not be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he'll also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those that are the household of faith." Now, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let me get into this. Most of the time you start talking about finances or money, everybody clams up on it because they think the preacher's trying to get your money. Listen, keep your money. If you don't want to, that's up to, between you and Jesus. Just keep your money. All right? But I can tell you that if you hoard your money, you're not ever going to have any. I can tell you that I can tell you from experience, if you're not a giver and you're not a happy giver, then I want to tell you what's going to happen to you. Your money is going to make wings. It's going to fly away. You're never going to have enough. You're always going to be short. You're always going to be lacking. And in today's world, in today's society, I can only tell you that the way to operate your life and your finances is to be like God. And God is the ultimate giver. God gave His only Son, His greatest possession for all of us to be saved. But He gave His Son knowing that when He planted the seed, it was going to reap forth a harvest. You've got to understand the principle of God. Okay, now here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9, 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Now, you may read that one way or the other. You could read that and you're talking and the thing that clicks in you is amount or volume. All right? But the truth of the matter is here, what the Apostle Paul is talking about is not the amount, but the heart. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Years ago, I was teaching y'all, and we've done this, and we have worked and built for the past 12 or 14 years, helped build the orphanage in Guatemala. We have sowed hundreds of thousands of dollars into that ministry. We have built homes, schools, just one thing after the next to get these children to the place that they need to be, because God put a mandate, I believe, on this church. Our board believes that. The people, the leadership of this church believes that. We stand behind it. It's a mandate on this church to give in that direction. Okay? We've sown and we've sown and we've sown and we have reaped and we have reaped and we have reaped. And we have done things as a church absolutely that is astounding for the size of the church that we are. But I started us out, and I'm still standing behind this today, that what God wants is not looking at your life as the abundance that you can give, but do you have a heart that's a bountiful heart? And we started out, and Tracy made a mention of it a while ago, about saying, look, if we could do a dollar a day, $30 a month, $365 a year, you just give me that seed money, and we'll get it going, and we'll support the orphans with that. And we have done really well doing that. Now, I told you in those days, and I'll just tell you again this morning, and then we'll add to this message. But, you know, have y'all noticed how expensive everything is nowadays? How many of you in here how many of you can remember the time when you could buy a Coke for a quarter? Huh? And then how many of you, let's just up it a little bit more. How about 50 cents? Remember you put two quarters in and you got a Coke? Doesn't that get more of us in here? A little bit more of us can remember those days. Now, a dollar won't even get you a sip. Hello? All right. So I said to you in those days, the early days, I said, man, just what if you committed in your life, if you felt it in your heart, and you just didn't drink a Coke one day, and you saved a dollar. Because you purposed in your heart to give a dollar a day. There, right there, just don't drink a Coke, and you could, or if you drank two Cokes, then just don't drink it, whatever I'm saying. It's an easy way to make a buck. You just didn't spend it. You with me? And you purposed in your heart then to give it, that there was money right there that you had. You can almost, if you travel around much, find a dollar on the ground in a day. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing to me how much change is just hanging around everywhere. Okay? And I ask you to support the orphanage that we would agree to $30 a day. You give a dollar a day. Now, the point the Apostle Paul's trying to make here that I want to reaffirm to you this morning is that he's not talking about the volume of money you sow. He's talking about the heart of the giver. And this is where people make so much of a mistake in their life. God is not asking you to say, well, you know, I really want you to give till it hurts. But that's not what God says. He says, I want you, what's in your heart? Well, if you're a generous person, a lot of times you say, oh, I want to give $1,000. Well, you don't have $1,000 to give. But listen to me. If you just say, oh, I want to give $1,000, I want to give $1,000, but you don't give anything, well, then you know what happens? You're sowing sparingly. Remember the widow's mite we talked about last week? That the woman, she gave just about the equivalent of a penny. And Jesus said she gave more than the guy that put in a bigger amount of money. It's not about the volume. It's about your heart. Listen to me. The secret to walking in success financially with God is to have a heart that's bountiful, a heart that wants to give. And that you find ways somehow to give. And when you get like that, and that's your heart, I want to tell you something, your whole world changes. Your whole world changes. Now, I want to read on. So he says, let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Okay, here's what I thought was funny. As I was reading here and thinking about this, about being bountiful, all right, and it says a cheerful giver, and so I looked up in the Strong's Concordance what the Greek word means for cheerful, a cheerful giver. And you know what it is? It's the root that we get our word hilarious from. A hilarious giver. I mean, that literally is what it means. A hilarious giver. Is that crazy? I mean, when I read that, I just started laughing. I said, you know, okay, let's just put it this way. I know I'm a little strange, all right? I'm okay with that. I'm okay in my strangeness. You know how there's that deal for women, you know, you're comfortable in your own skin or whatever that is. You know, I'm okay with my craziness, all right? But see, I like to believe God for things. And then I like to see God move, and then I'm like, get excited. Wow! And so, like, if I'm believing for a quarter, now I have a quarter to give away, but if I want to find a quarter that day, and I'm walking along the street, and all of a sudden I look down, and there's a quarter. I'm like, ha-ha, there's a quarter. I get excited. It makes me cheerful. It brings joy to me because I'm seeing God do something. Are y'all with me? Bethany called me this morning. She actually did it by computer, so I don't know if that's really a phone call or not. But anyway, I got the message. And told me that the team that was down there got our Living Waters Church, the house painted down there. So all the exterior got painted, and I believe the interior got painted also this week. And so they were saying how good it looked, and it was all, you know, and that excites me. I'm like, yes, yes, yes. The kids got in there, looks good, you know. I do like to boast in God. And say, look what God did. Here we were. You know, we got it. We got the finances down. They already got it done. Boom, bada bing. There it is. Thank you, Jesus. I like that. It excites me. It brings joy to me. Well, wait a minute. The type of giver, you're supposed to be hilarious. Listen to me. If you don't have any joy, you're not hilarious. You know, if you're the old sourpuss that's been sucking on a lemon, nobody wants to be around you. If you're the complainer, if you're the apathetic person, if you're that person, I want to tell you something, you're not a giver. Because you're not hilarious. You don't have any joy. Because Jesus is saying in here that when you start to give, the byproduct of the giving coming back to you is that you have joy. Because when joy comes in and fills your heart, then you're just a hilarious giver. Well, I don't know, preacher. You know, they're talking about that. Yeah, you ain't hilarious. Get on out of here. You see, it's we make things too complicated, church. We take the gospel and we make it too complicated. Look what it says here. Let's read on. I want to start from the first. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, a hilarious giver. And God is able. Everybody say God's able. God's In the Bible, I have certain scriptures that I just really love. And this is one of them right there. Because I like it. It says, God's able. How many times in my life I had to sit there and say, whoo-hoo, God's able. Because it doesn't look like it in the natural. But God's able. Look what he's able to do. To make all grace abound towards you. Now, what's grace? You know the definition a lot of people use, God's unmerited favor, but I always like to use this definition. That it's God's willingness to use his power and his ability on your behalf. It's God's willing to use his power and his ability on your behalf. It's God Almighty turning the God power towards you just because. Not because you perform, not because you deserve it, not because you prayed so long this week. No, it's not by works. You don't get grace by works. If you got grace by works, it would be the reward of works. It would be what you're owed. Frank, if you do work for me and I pay you, you just earned it. I didn't give it to you. Grace is given to you. He said he's able to make all grace abound towards you, right? That you will always have all sufficiency in all things and have an abundance for every good work. God is able, if your heart is right, that you're a cheerful, hilarious giver. If you're just like get excited to find a quarter because then that's adding to your money that you were going to give the dollar a day and folks, and you get the reality that we're literally putting food and rescuing abused children off the street and that child will not be abused or touched or harmed or raped or molested ever again because you did something about it. Folks, that should bring you joy. It brings me great joy. But I want to tell you something. When you do that and you start to get this mojo going, and then God's like, wow, look, get the grace light. Woo, there, turn it on them. Woo, they got the grace light on them. They got the grace beaming on them. Because he's able to make all grace abound towards you. That then what? You have all sufficiency in all things and an abundance for every good work. Do you see? People get it wrong. There's been a really bad teaching in the body of Christ about sowing and giving to get. Listen to me. It's wrong. You sow and so that you will reap so that you have an abundance for every good work. There's a big difference. You're sowing in the ground so that you have a harvest coming in so that you have an abundance for every good work. And in the meantime, you're blessed because he says you have all sufficiency in all things, and an abundance for everything you need. All sufficiency in all things, what does that include? Wouldn't that be everything? Wouldn't that mean the food you need, the clothes you need, the cars you need, the house you need? Well, I think his house is too big. He didn't really need that big of a house. Who are you? Who are you to be the house designator? Who are you to go around judging the size of homes and all that? Maybe you're just being that away because all you believed for was less. I better get behind the pulpit before I get shot. Frank does have a dozen eggs up here, so he said he'd throw. You see, church, so we've got to be real and we've got to look into our own hearts. I do not care what anybody drives. I mean, if everybody in this church drove whatever you wanted to, I'd say a Cadillac, but that probably is not what everybody in here would want to drive, you know? Biggest diesel truck you could find, you know? No, you know, painted camouflage. The high rack. No, I don't care what it is. Listen to me, folks. It's not about that. Jesus said he gives you an abundance for all things and every good work. It's only when you get your heart in the wrong place. It's only when you get your vision skewed into the wrong for what is really God's purpose for finances in our life. Think of this. If the teaching has been taught that you're to be poor is to be humble and that's the way God wants you, well, then I guess the opposite of that message would be that God wants you to shine His grace upon you so you can be a hilarious giver in life. I don't know about y'all, but I would just love to be sitting around this slack. I read an article the other day, you know, if you're a Duck Dynasty fan, you know, you probably know who I'm talking about. But Willie Robertson from Duck Dynasty was at a, didn't read on the article long enough to find out where exactly it was, but he was at a restaurant. He left the waitress, I don't know if it was a waiter or waitress, a $5,000 tip. Cool. I mean, isn't that cool? I mean, I'd like to have seen their face, right? Cool. I mean, folks, I'm telling you what, it's been a while back. I was sitting in a restaurant, and I'm not saying this to for any attention upon me. I'm just saying, I just want you to understand how this works. I was sitting at a restaurant with my wife. It's been maybe a year or so ago, and I this couple was sitting across, and this is not a high dollar restaurant. This was just a Mexican restaurant, and it wasn't high dollar or anything like that. And I looked over there, and I just noticed these people seemed to be out of place. They seemed to be a little uncomfortable being in this restaurant, and I'm thinking, Lord, if you're uncomfortable being in this restaurant, this is like, you know, step up from fast food. I mean, you know, but I noticed that they just felt a little uncomfortable, and they were Hispanic couple, and they just were just real reserved and real whatever and real proper, and the Holy Spirit just said, buy their meal. So I said, okay, well, all right, I'll do it. And so the waitress came over, and so we had ordered when that couple sat down. I said, look, I know this is, you know, maybe be a little odd or whatever I want to ask you to do, but that couple sitting right over there, I want to buy the meal. So can you bring me their ticket? And I said, I don't know if they're through ordering or whatever, but I have the meal. It just don't say anything to them. Just let them order whatever, but I just want the ticket. Don't, you know, if they hurry up and get out of here or something, don't let them go. I want the ticket. And the girl just looked at me. She says, that table right there? And I said, yeah, that table right there. And then tears just came running down her face. And I said, you know, I was like, what? Oh my God, what have I done? And she said, that's my parents. And they've never been able to come in here before. And today was, I just invited them because I made enough money this weekend to have them come in. And I was like, God, you're so amazing. Here I am just sitting here. I just blundered into the place, you know. I wasn't like I heard the holy, you know, voice, oh, go to that restaurant. Saw the shining light, the North Star over it. Dee-dee. I just walked in there because I was hungry for some Mexican food. And then got into this situation, you know. All I'm saying, folks, and then it brought me joy. It actually kind of set me back on my heels. It was like, wow, I'm following God and I didn't even realize it. Way to go, Rob, you know. But it was kind of like, isn't it cool that God can do those things with us when we have a heart that's open to be a giver and a heart that's open to be a blessing? And it brought joy to us, and it was exciting, and it was, you know, like, wow, this is amazing to get to do this kind of stuff. You see, if you're looking for it and you set yourself and you put yourself up in that position that you're sowing seed and you're going to be a giver and you're going to be a blesser and you're going to do something, well, then all of a sudden, then your world begins to change around you. The supernatural opens up to you, and God wants to start to move and do all these things. If you're only focused upon whatever your life is going on in there, you're not getting the grace light shined on you and God making that amazing things happen in your life. Look at the person beside you and say, man, that's really good. I like that. Look at the person beside you and say, I think you do look kind of hilarious. Okay, so let's go to another scripture here. Old Testament, the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Man, I like that. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Everybody say it when you say it. God is able to make all grace abound towards me. Whoo! Ought to be your confession every morning. You ought to wake up, look yourself in the mirror and say, God is able to make all grace abound towards you.
Well, I'm not like that, Robert. I'm a little reserved.
Watch it. You're going to get so reserved in life, you're not going to be hilarious. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1. It says, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a serving to seven and also to eight, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. For if the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth, and if the tree falls in the south or on the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap, as you do not know what is in the way of the wind. You see, church, what he's talking about here is that if you try to rationalize in your head what I'm preaching to you today about sowing and reaping, you're going to become a cautious giver. Now, I want to put a statement on that. I believe that everything that you give to, you need to know, because I preached this prior to this, that you're in obedience to what God has told you to do. There's a difference between being a reckless giver and being an obedient giver. Y'all with me? Now, it's a no-brainer that we're always to do good. All right? If you're standing in the checkout line and the person that's checking out in front of you is a dollar short of getting their food, and you just go up there and say, look, just get out of the way if you can't pay. Put your food back. Take something off. I ain't got time to wait for you. You know, you're not very Christian. I one time stood in a line, and a guy was short a quarter, 25 cents. But he was like three people ahead of me. And the others got mad, just stand there stomping their feet because this guy didn't have a quarter and I was three back. And finally I said, hey, here, take a dollar. Get out of, you know, here's your dollar. Give me the dollar. Good gosh. And then I just looked at the people and said, man, what is the matter with y'all? I mean, y'all are acting, the guy needs a quarter.
Well, he should just know how much money he's there.
He started murmuring around all kinds of stuff. I said, you know, I just wanted to take them all outside and beat them with a rope. I'm sorry, that was my thought. That wasn't very Christian, but that was my thought. Lay a welt on them and make them really think about it next time. But seriously, he just needed a quarter. So I know this happens. This is in the hearts of the people, all right? So there's nothing wrong with being good. Did I have to pray, Father, let me ask, do I give this man the dollar or not? I didn't have to pray about that. It was a no-brainer, right? But if I'm, you know, if something's going on that I have time to pray about it, I'm going to be asking the Lord, okay, now, Lord, do you want us to be focused? For this church, I'm always asking the Lord, what do you want us to do? Now, do I need to, you know, I don't want to get off. Because there's a lot of preachers with a lot of good things and a lot of great things going on in life. And I have to know that I can stand before Jesus and say, well, Lord, I led the church in the direction I felt like you were telling me to go. I have to know that in my heart, you know, that I'm leading on the right direction because I have to answer for it. And so I do pray about those things and I am cautious. I want to be obedient, right? But I'm talking about if you're always saying, well, gosh, I don't know. I hate to be obedient, Lord. I know what you're telling me to do, but I don't know what's going to happen next week. Then see, you're not going to sow. You're not going to cast your bread on the water and believe that God's bringing it back. It's an issue of faith. Folks, I'm telling you, if God told you to do it, it'll always be successful. Okay? If you just came up with it, it's your own harebrained scheme, well, you know. Yeah, good luck. That's right. Is this helping you? I mean, is this? I pray this is stirring something in you this morning. I really need y'all to get excited about a dollar a day, but I need you to spread it to others. I need 100 people. And right now I have 40 who give faithfully a dollar a day. I really need 100. And so I don't care who they are. I don't care if they don't even love Jesus. If they'll just give me a dollar a day so I can rescue an orphan with it. You know, I'll be honest with you. However we get it, shame people into it. It doesn't matter to me. Maybe to Jesus, but it doesn't to me. Because the bottom line is, I want to see these kids blessed. And I've seen over the years that good things happening. So we need to increase it, okay? And so the only way it's going to get increased is for you to tell other people about it and get other people involved. But they're only going to get involved if you believe in it and you keep encouraging them. But we need to get to 100. So we need, like, you know, 50 or 60 more people that want to really get involved in this. You know, God always makes it happen. That's what's funny about it. I have people that will give over, will be watching a video or a radio, and they'll send in $1,000. Okay? I don't even know who these people are. I've never met them, never seen them. God bless you. If you were one of them, thank you. We love you. And I'm like, wow, because I might have been short that month for what we needed to send down. Boom, there was the money. God always supplies it. It's not like, it's going to come from somewhere. It's either going to be miracle money or it's going to be consistent money coming in. God always does it, though. Because if I've been obedient to do what he's told me to do, it's going to happen. Y'all with me? And so that's what's exciting about it. And what I love about it is then when the people that have been listening to me send in something, I'm like, wow, God, you spoke to their hearts, because they may not even have known anything that was going on. But they heard God and did something. Amen? Okay. So I'm going to back up just a second. Y'all don't give up on me here. I'm going back in my notes here, so I'll make sure and get it right. In this principle of sowing, the three things I've told you you needed to know, and I've been preaching for this, is first obedience. The second is faith. To understand faith, is your faith has to be involved in what you're doing. And the third thing is that you have to know about sowing and reaping, okay? You have to know these things about giving. You have to know that what you sow, you're going to reap. If you've given money, money has got to come back into your hands. So let's just talk for a second. All right. I got to change just for a second. And I don't know where I wrote it down. Ah, thank you. Blessings of computer. Okay. The third thing I've got to talk to you about is that you have to sow into a heart. You have to sow with a heart of love, which is what I was talking about there. You're sowing. I want to go over this real quickly because I want to get into this. When you're sowing with a heart of love, you're doing it because you're enjoying it. It's exciting to you. You love to do it. You realize that a great debt was paid for you, for your life. And therefore, what is money compared to your life having eternal life? What is money compared to the blood of Jesus washing your sins away and forgiving you and opening up all of heaven for you? You see, we always have to remember that. You were bought with a price, and the price was the death of Christ. You're a valuable person to Jesus, to heaven. Y'all with me? And so you've got to give with a heart of love. And that's where the source of your love comes from, because you're thankful that Jesus saved you. All right? That he gave for you, so therefore you're have a heart of love and being a giver. But I just want to go over this right here. Because you're sowing seeds of money, so it's got to come back to you. Y'all following me? It's got to come back to you. All right. So I wrote down six ways that it can come back to you. And I want to just give you this. All right. Six ways money can come to you. Now, don't just kind of humorous here. The first way is you can steal it. Okay. Because you're going to get money, right? You want money to come to you. So the first way I wrote down here is that you can steal it. But you know, there's consequences to that, and that's not God's way. So you can steal it, but it's going to cost you something, all right? So you don't want to steal. But that's the way money can come to you. All right? The second way is you can just, you know, like, you can just find it. You can discover it. You can be a treasure hunter. You can find a map that says the gold lieth here. Have y'all watched any of these shows about, like, they're up, it's mostly in Alaska where they're trying to mine for gold? And y'all seen all those on, I don't know if it's the History or Discovery Channel, something like that, where they're up in the Bering Sea and they got the big vacuum cleaner sucking up off the bottom of the, you know, and they dig it up and they do all this and, you know, and then they've worked and they, you know, they're all fighting and squabbling and spitting and flying and trying to kill each other and mad at each other and going through all these horrific things. But you know, it's television and they make it worse. And at the end of it, they got $10,000. I'm like, man, dude, there's got to be an easier way to get $10,000 than that. I mean, you know, that seems like kind of rough, you know. But, you know, that's what happened to the gold rush. What happened to the gold rush is, you know, in every gold rush, no matter where it was at, people always figured they're going to get rich quick. That's a spirit. I want you to understand something. That is a spirit. There's a demonic spirit. It's the same thing with gambling, that you're going to pull the lever on the slot machine. You're going to, you know, you're going to hit the great jackpot, right? It's a spirit. It's a demonic spirit because it knows that the odds are you ain't going to win. All right? Okay. So the second way money can come to you is you can find it or you discover it, but the odds of that are, man, slim to nil. The third thing is that you can inherit it. Now, that's great, but you don't get the option. Because, see, you were born into that family, so if the family had money, you can inherit something. If the family didn't have any money, you're out of luck. You can't go get adopted at 30. You can't find somebody and say, I would really like for you to adopt me. You can try, but it ain't going to work. Y'all with me? So, if money comes into your hands from an inheritance, glory to God. But you don't get an option to pick and choose that. Okay? The fourth way you can have money come to you is you can beg for it. You can beg for it. All right? But that doesn't really make it very rewarding. All right? The fifth way, you can be given it. Somebody can just walk up and give you the money. But let me just say this. It's been my experience in life that, I'm just going to use y'all as examples. God could speak to Lee and say, give Robert $500. And he may say no. Or you got to be kidding me. Or he could be wrestling with the situation. So then God's going to go to Skip and he's going to say, give Robert $500. And then Skip's like, well, I don't know if this is really God or not. And then he goes back to Ed and says, hey, I need you to give Robert $500. And he's like, well, you know. Yeah. You see, God could be speaking to multiple people about doing something, but it requires that person to be obedient and do it. So how many people does God have to go through to get you the money that you're praying and believing for? It's not easy. Do you follow what I'm saying here? I'm trying to give you some solid ways of how money is going to come into your hands. You can just believe God for somebody just to speak to their hearts and give it to you, but man, you better know a lot of people, and you're going to have a big radio program, and you're going to have something going out there, because you've got to get the word out to everybody to see if anything's going to come in. Hello? Because the bottom line is, a lot of people aren't obedient. So God may speak to 5, 6, 8, 10, 12, 100. I don't know. Before it ever gets to you. All right? The sixth thing, the last one here, of the easiest way God can get money into your hands after you have sown, it's going to come back to you. You can earn it. Your job is blessed. Your employer blesses you. You do something, whatever you're doing. You need another job. The job comes up. This happens. That's the easiest way in the system, because God is not a counterfeiter, folks. He can't counterfeit money. He can't give you a money tree in the back. Whoo, that'd be good if he would. But he can't. He can't rain money out of the sky. Although, I have got this one, and I haven't had it happen yet, is I saw a show where they're picking up meteorites, and they're worth so much money. I said, hey, God, that's it. Pop one down the backyard. Boom, right there. I mean, you can do it. Come on, focus it over here. Don't hit the house. Land it right out there. I mean, come on, Lord. Now, I could see money fall out of heaven like that, but I mean, it's not going to happen. The way it's going to happen to you in life, you got to get out of a super hyper spiritual mentality and realize that God is going to bless you in whatever you're doing. Whatever enterprise you're going, God may say, listen, I want you to knit some booties. And you're like, I don't know anything about knitting and I don't like booties. But he may have a whole job for you out there in life of booty knitting. And every new baby that comes in life, the mothers call you and say, I want yours. You've got the cutest little booties I've ever seen. I had a guy tell me, listen to me, I had a guy tell me that I want, that his wife, he said, I just work because I just, you don't have anything else to do, and I need just something to do. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, my wife earns all the income of the family. I said, what do you have? What do you have? He said, oh, yeah, she has a sterling teapot company. I said, what do you mean? She's like, she makes teapots? I said, no. She just has she's on the internet, and you go to her, and like if you're getting married and you're going to get the silver teapot set, I mean, I guess that's what you give at weddings or something like that, and you're going to get a silver teapot and all the little deals, and she engraves the name of the company, everything on there. And he says, UPS comes in and drops them all off. She has her own engraver. She engraves them and sends them out. And I said, dude, what do you mean? I mean, how much money can you make? How many silver teapot sets are there to be sold in a day? He says, she makes over $100,000 a month. I said, what? He said, yeah, she pays the search engines like $10,000 a month so that she comes up as the very first hit and everything. And I'm like, what? He said, oh, yeah, her whole business. She does it all by herself. Didn't have any employees or anything. She just goes up there and they come in and they're mailing out. She's the number one seller. $100,000 a month. I said, dude, why are you even working? He said, well, I don't want to stay at home with her. He said, she put me to work. All I'm saying is that the way God's going to bring it into your hands, because you're sowing seed, now something has to happen. You have sowed, and by faith, a harvest is coming. The harvest has got to get into your hands, and there's only a certain amount of ways the harvest can get into your hands. Okay? You shouldn't steal it. You may find it. Your inheritance, I don't know. Begging for it's one way, but, you know, it's not too good. People giving it to you, yeah, but they're not probably going to hear God anyway. The best way is earn it. The best way is to be an entrepreneur. The best way is to be in there. Let God work in your life and make something happen that makes this happen to come into your life and blesses you. The Bible says that we're not supposed to chase the blessings of God. The blessings of God are supposed to be chasing us. I'm trying to stir your faith here this morning, church. I'm trying to come up and tell you, man, God has inventive ways to bless you. You just have to figure out how's that going to happen. You say, how do I do even what I do? Man, I'm running 5 businesses. Are they all great, big, and successful? No. But I've got doors open everywhere for God to give me some money. I'm going to earn it. I'm going to be blessed by it. But I got things all over the place. You say, well, that seems like a lot of work. It is. It's crazy. But it's fun, too, to see what God's doing and put more money in my hands. And I love to be a hilarious giver. I love to advance the kingdom of God on the face of the earth. I don't like to be sitting around saying, God, I need money because I need some bread to buy. I've been there. I don't like it. You got to be willing to say, okay, Lord, show me something. Because I'm telling you, if you're sowing, reaping is coming. But you got to have a way for the harvest to get into your hands. I mean, you can't just go down there and it just is in the mailbox. Unless there's a way for it to be in the mailbox. Or God directed somebody to give it to you. But like I'm saying, he may have to go home through a whole bunch of people to get that to you. Hello? Why y'all look at me so funny? Come on. I mean, this is good, right? You got to be, God has to use some natural means to get it to you. A natural means to get it to you, some way. See, I want y'all to find this out. And I want you to have a huge, abundant harvest. And I want you to be coming to here and saying, listen, we want to rescue more orphans here, and shoving money into my pockets. And I'm saying, wait, stop. It's too much. It's too heavy. I can't carry it all. I want the bank to call me and say, Pastor, you're going to do something. There's too much money in your account. We don't know what to do with it. It's putting the bank out of balance because we have too much money in the account. This is what I'm talking about. Yeah, and I want to just advance the kingdom of God. I just want to be a crazy, radical giver. I want, every time Brother Ivan calls me and says, listen, we're kind of in a bind, we need this, and I say, well, how much do you want? Boom, just write a check. Bing bada boom. I want to be crazy in giving. I want the grace light, the grace beam, to be beaming upon me, that I have all grace abounding towards me, that I have all sufficiency in all things and an abundance for every good work. I want you to be so excited. I want y'all to be chasing me down, running down the street, throwing money at me, saying, get rid of it. I've got too much. I mean, have y'all ever thought about this? The people that win the lottos, and they get like this ridiculous amount of money, $400 million, something like that, you know. And then they always go crazy and do something real stupid with it and whatever. But can you imagine $400 million in the hands of a godly person? What could be done for the gospel? How much could be advanced? I mean, it's crazy. But they do dumb things. But, you know, I remember, I'll tell you this and I'll quit. Years ago, this is before we even knew Jesus, my wife and I. We'd been married, 5 years or something like that. And we were laying in the bed dreaming about if we won the lotto. So for those of y'all that think lotto is something new, it's a long time ago, and we were laying in bed dreaming about it. And so we got to thinking about what we're going to do if we won and how we're going to divide the money up. And we got in an argument. Got mad at each other right there over fictitious money we did not even have. It turned into a fight. Had to get out of the bed, turn the lights on, throw some water on my face, calm down. I mean, it was a bad one. I mean, we really got in an altercation about what we were going to do with the money. And then got mad. Well, why wouldn't you do that? And then it turned into this more and more and more. And then in a minute, we began to laugh at each other and say, are we stupid or what? We don't even have anything. And we're arguing about it. How we're going to distribute the money. Okay? All I'm saying is that, folks, God's got to get it in your hands some way. And the most obvious way he's going to put it in your hands is you're going to earn it. You're going to do something and get blessed. So you have to have your faith going that when you've sown, you're expecting to reap. You're expecting to reap. When you're walking, you have to every morning wake up and say, reaping's coming my way. Not the reaper. I'm out this morning to go reap, honey. Gather the harvest in. Are y'all with me? This is getting your faith going. This is the way you're supposed to walk. This is the VIP way. This is the Christian way. This is the way God intended it to do. He wants to shine the light on you as you have that heart of love as a giver. Boom. He's going to make it happen. You walk downtown and you're thinking, man, Lord, I don't know what we're going to do today. And then somebody pops up and says, hey, da, 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 da. And you're like, huh, yeah, I can do that. And then boom, your harvest comes in. Amen? Look at the person beside you and say, I'm ready for a harvest. Praise God. Well, stand to your feet. Can I have my prayer team come down, please? My prayer for everyone today is, man, I'm not here to offend you or make you uncomfortable. I'm here to stretch you and get your faith going to believe in God's word. If I'm too open and honest talking about money, well, you're just going to have to learn to love me, because I'm not going to apologize for it, because we all need it. All right? We all need finances. We all need money. We all need to walk in the blessings of God. That's just the way it is. Okay? And I'm just telling you, these principles I'm teaching you can help you to grow in who you are and grow in the things of God. And you'll be blessed in doing it. And of course, I want your money. And just know it. Don't get offended by it. I want to rescue orphans. I want to see people saved. I want to see the radio broadcast going on. There's this morning on this radio right now, going over this broadcast right here, there's 4,000 people going to listen to it this month. I was listening to myself preach this morning to just check the radio to make sure that it was on there. Got so excited, you know, got saved, gave my life to Jesus all over again. Laid hands on myself. Found some water, baptized myself. I mean, it was good stuff. I was preaching on the love of God, and I was like, man, I got so touched in it. I said, man, way to go. I mean, it was good. And so, you know, I mean, it's there. And I want to preach people. I want to tell people about Jesus and about how much he loves you. And that's what it's all about, church. You know, it's what it's all about. And God wants to bless you. You are a VIP. So look at the person saying, say, you are a VIP. And I want you to not get beat down by this world, not get beat down by this world system, not get all the oppressive thoughts in your life, not let the devil run, you know, crazy with your thoughts in your mind. I want you to know what the truth is. Amen. I want you to find that quarter on the ground tomorrow and get excited because you know God did it. Right? I want to see you get that raise and out of the blue, and you can turn around and say, oh my gosh, God did it. I want you to see that God's principles work and get excited about him. Because all I'm doing is telling you about how great he is. Have anything to do with me. It's all about him. Amen? So, with all that said, I just want you to know, man, get crazy. Get hilarious. Have some fun. Have some fun. Let the great things of God just work through you. Amen? So, I'm going to pray for you. We're here up front. If there is anybody here, you need prayer this morning. If you're in here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, folks, he loves you. He paid the price for you on the cross. He gave his life for you. If you're listening out there by radio or watching by video this morning, I want you to know Jesus loves you so much. You mean so much to him. He gave his life on the cross for you, and all he wants you to do is accept him, to come into your life. Just say, Jesus, come into my life. I want you. I need you. And I want to tell you something. He'll come into your life. He'll forgive you of your sins. He'll cleanse your heart. He'll set your whole world straight. And if you're out there and you're listening and you want to join with us and give to orphans, hey, we all we're asking is $1 a day, $30 a month, $365 a year. And I'll tell you what, we'll change the lives of children. We'll see them never abused again. And so, church, take the hand of the person beside you. I just declare today that you are blessed. I declare today that you're walking out of this building today as overcomers more than conquerors. I declare you're walking out of here today with a clarity of vision to know exactly what God has for you, to know exactly what God wants you to be obedient in your life to do. To reach out and touch and to bless. I declare today that as you go out there, you're going to see God moving in your lives. You're going to be blessed this week. You're going to see God do all kinds of awesome things for you that you never thought about. And Lord, I just declare that Proverbs 8, that we have the knowledge of witty inventions come into our lives. Just pop into our heads and you show us everything to do, Lord, to create in us your awesomeness, that your grace works in us, that we're able to abound for every good work. And Lord, we give you praise for it this day. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. God bless you, church. We're here up front for you if you need prayer about anything. We're up here.